Saviour John by Per Lagerkvist. My name is John, but I am called the Saviour because I am to save mankind on earth. I am the one chosen for this, and that is why I am so called. I am not like other people. No one here in this town is like me. The Lord has kindled a fire in my breast which never goes out. I can always feel it burning and burning inside, day and night. I feel I must save them, that I am to be sacrificed for their sake. Through my faith, which I preach to them, they shall be redeemed. Yes, I feel I must believe for them, for all who doubt, for all who hunger and thirst and cannot be satisfied, I shall refresh them. In their anguish and need, they call to me, and I wipe out everything as with a gentle and merciful hand, and it is no more. Yes, I am to save mankind on earth. From the age of 14, I have known that I am chosen for it. Since then, I have been different from all others. I don't dress like other people either. You can tell just from that. I have 2 rows of silver buttons on my jacket and a green band around my waist and a red one around my arm. On a string around my neck, I wear the lid of a cigar box with a picture of a pretty young woman on it. I can't remember now what it means. That's how I am dressed. But fastened by an invisible thread around my forehead, I wear a star, which I have cut out of tin. It gleams and sparkles in the sun. It can be seen from afar, and it shines so that no one can help noticing it. When I walk down the street, everyone stares after me in wonder. Looking at the Saviour, they say to each other, "For they know that's who I am. They know I have come to save them." But they don't understand me, yet. They don't believe as they should, nor as I believe. There is no fire inside them, not as with me. That is why I must speak to them, teach them to believe. That is why I must stay here for a long time yet. I think it is so strange. They see their Saviour and hear his voice. He is right among them and they still do not understand him. But in time to come, their eyes will be opened and they will see him as he is. Market today. Been up to the marketplace and preached as usual. The farmers were there with their carts, all gathered around me. I spoke of everything that I bear within me, of my message, which I shall proclaim to the whole world, that I am come to redeem them, that through me they shall gain peace. They listened attentively. I think they were comforted by my words. I don't understand why they laugh. I myself never laugh. For me, everything is serious. As I stood there, looking out over the large crowd of people and thinking that in each one of them there was a soul that must be saved if it was not to go under, that must believe if it was not to plunge into despair, I was moved by such solemnity and earnestness. Oh, it was glorious to stand like that and feel them gathered around me. I seemed for a moment to be looking out over countless multitudes, even all those who had not come to hear me today. For it is quite a small market, and there are not so many people. To be looking out over all the people on earth, and all hungered and thirsted for peace, and I was to save them. It was a blissful moment. I shall never forget it. I think I was filled with the Spirit today, and that they understood me. When I had finished, one of them stepped forward and gave me a cabbage on behalf of everyone there. I brought it home, and this evening I have made good, nourishing soup from it. It is a long time since I have had anything hot to eat. God bless him. Oh, the pity of humanity! They are all unhappy, distressed. They all suffer. Johansen, the baker, is unhappy because they no longer buy his bread now that a bakery has opened next door. His bread is so good, too. He has often given me a loaf to take home. All bread is good. Ekstrom, the policeman whom I often talk to, is unhappy because he thinks his wife neglects the house, and I don't think she bothers about him anymore. Even the magistrate is unhappy because he has lost his only son. Only I am happy, for in me burns the fire of faith which can never go out, which shall burn and burn until it has consumed me. I have no uneasiness, no anxiety. I am not like them. That would not be right. No, I must not despair. I must believe for them. They have taken me to the workhouse so that I shall be free of all earthly worries and can devote myself entirely to my mission as saviour. I am well off here. We get food twice a day. The others here are poor people. I feel so sorry for them. They are quiet, good souls. I don't think anyone has ever understood me so well as they do. They call me the saviour, like everyone else, and have great respect for me. In the evenings, I preach to them. They listen devoutly, and every word reaches their hearts. How their eyes shine when I speak. They cling to me, to my words, as their only hope. Yes, they know that I have come to save them. Always, after supper, I gather them around me like this and speak full of rapture, full of the heavenly light within me. Speak of the faith that can overcome everything, that transforms this world to a happy home given us by the highest. The superintendent says that I may, by all means, it doesn't matter. He is pleased with me. Then we go to rest. There are four of us in our room. The star hangs over my bed. It shines and burns all night long in the dark above me. It casts its light over my face as I sleep. I am not like the others on earth. Oh, terrifying anguish in my soul. Anguish, despair fills us all. The star is missing. The star of salvation which alone can guide us aright. This morning, when I woke up, the nail I hang it on was empty. No one knows where it has gone. Darkness surrounds us. I look for a single ray of light, but find none, no way out of the terrible darkness. All are broken-hearted. The whole town is sunk in grief. From up here, at the workhouse, we can see it lying like ashes. The sky is grey and leaden. There is no sign of light. How are we to be saved from our need? How are we to find the way out of despair that seizes us all? All put their hope in me. But what am I if the star does not shine above my head? If the heavenly light does not lead me? I am nothing then. I am just as poor as all the others. Who is to save us then? Now it has been found. All day I have thanked and praised on my knees. Old Enoch had taken it. We found it under his mattress. Now we are all glad and undismayed once more. My faith grows stronger than ever after this trial I have undergone. He had only done it as a joke. I have forgiven him. Sometimes I feel such loneliness and emptiness round me. It seems as if people do not understand my message to them. I doubt my power over their souls. How can I redeem them? They always smile so when I speak. As soon as they see me, their faces light up. But do they really believe in me? I think it is so strange that they do not understand who I am, that they cannot feel the fire which burns inside me, my heavenly rapture, how everything glows and is consumed within me. I can feel it myself so well. Sometimes, when I preach, it is as if I were alone, although there are large crowds listening all around me. I am like a flame leaping higher and higher, rising clearer and purer toward the sky. But no one warms himself at it. Oh, doubt that is trying to crush me. What makes us so poor and abased as you do? Today, I have been out with the flowers and the birds. They were so glad because I came. The larks rejoiced. Primroses and violets peeped up everywhere out of the grass. I preached for a while in the deepest reverence. Everything listened. The larks stopped above my head to hear me. What peace the soul feels in the country. Everything there understands me so well. If people were flowers and trees, then they would understand me too. Yes, they would be much happier then. They are bound to the earth and yet do not belong to it. They are flowers plucked up by the roots. The sun only burns them. The soil is just waiting for them to become soil. Nothing here makes them happy. Nothing can save them except the message from heaven which I want to bring them. Then everything will be explained and the earth will smell of lilies. Then they will gain peace. When I came back to town in the evening, there were a lot of people collected outside the taverns, and they called for their saviour, wanted me to preach to them. But I said that I had been away talking to my God, and that I must go home and think over what he had said. Perhaps that was not right, but I felt like a stranger, and went home grieving. Oh, my heart, how hard it is to live! How heavy to bear is the calling that has been laid upon me. This afternoon, as I walked along the street deep in thought, I found myself in the midst of the children who were coming from school. They flocked around me. Look at the Saviour, they cried. Look at the Saviour. They pressed around from all sides. I had to stop. Then one of them stretched up his arms and shouted, Crucified! Crucified! I think someone had taught it to them, for with one accord they all did the same. They stretched up their small hands, and all around me their childish voices shouted, Crucified! Crucified! It was as if a sword had pierced my breast. I felt my heart stand still. The sweat of anguish broke out on my brow. With their shouting and noise in my ears, I forced my way through them and escaped. I went into the yard of Lundgren, the carpenter, and wept. I love children. No one loves them as I do. When I look into their bright eyes, I feel a joy which nothing else on earth can give. I want them to come to me. Then I would pick them up on my knee and stroke their hair, and they would lay their warm little cheeks against mine. I have often seen Johansen the baker's little boy do that when Johansen has sat down to rest in the evening. I have seen him pat his father's cheek and put his arms around his neck, and they have sat like that for a long time without a thought for anyone else. It has made me long for a little hand to pat me like that. But he who is to save mankind walks alone among them like a stranger. He has no home here, no joy, no sorrow that belongs to the earth. He is an outcast, for in him burns the fire that is to consume him. Who is not as they are? Crucified. Crucified? Just believe and believe, believe for them all. Oh, every evening I am as tired as though I had lived their thousand lives. I collapse on my bed and fall asleep like an animal. Only the star burns above my weary body so that I shall waken again and believe still more. Why have I been chosen for it? Often, as I sit at the window up here at the workhouse and look out over the town, I think it is so strange that I, of all people, shall save them. I am so lowly. Many have greater power and might on earth than I. The calling weighs me down like a burden which I am too weak to bear. I want to sink down on my knees. My soul is filled with such anguish. Their Saviour surely must not sink down. He must not feel anguish in his soul. Oh, why must I, who am weakest at all, believe for them? This afternoon, as I was walking across the marketplace, I met the magistrate. As he passed, he nodded kindly. "Good afternoon, John," he said. I almost stopped short. He did not call me the saviour. "Good afternoon, John," was all he said. Just John, nothing else. No one has called me that since I was a child. Now I remember, it was my mother who called me that. She would pick up me on her knee and stroke my head. I remember it so well now that I think back. Good afternoon, John. She was so good to me. In the evenings, she would come home and light the lamp and prepare the food, and then I would creep up on her knee. Her hair was quite golden, her hands nice and white from scrubbing floors all day. Now I remember it all so well. It is her I carry around my neck. It is Mother. Good afternoon, John. How nice it felt when he said that. So nice and safe. All seemed to grow quite still inside me. No worry, no fear of anything. Just John, nothing else. Oh, if only I could be just like all the others. If I could take off the sign of my Saviour's calling and go about like one of them, just be as they are. Live here quietly and peacefully with my earthly work as the others do day after day, and in the evening go to bed tired from worldly tasks, which I have done as I should, not from believing, just believing. Perhaps I could be a turner at Lundgren, the carpenter's. Or, if that was difficult, I could sweep the yard. And so, I would be like them. And there would not be this fire burning in me anymore. No anguish would consume me anymore. Just John, nothing else. They would all know so well who I was, would see me every day going about my business. John, he's the one who sweeps the yard. Oh, why must I have them? I, who am the poorest and weakest of all. I, who want to live here in peace, so grateful for the earth which has bidden me here to it. Like a guest, sunk down on his knees at the rich table, like a flower that scarcely raises itself above the ground. O God, my Father, if it be possible, then let this cup pass from me. No, no, I must not doubt, not fail them. What is it that wants to lead my soul astray? What is it that wants to hurl them all down into an abyss of darkness because I fail them? Something terrible has happened to me. What is it? Do I not believe any more? Yes, yes, I believe. I believe as never before. I shall save them. It is I who will save them. I walk and walk here at night, have no peace. In the streets, out on the roads, far into the woods and back again, there is a wind. The clouds are driving before it. Where am I? My head is burning. I am so tired. Yes, I believe. I believe. I shall save them. I shall be sacrificed for them. Soon. Soon. Why then do I feel such anguish? Surely the Saviour of mankind must not fear and despair as I do. No, no. Am I out in the woods again? Don't I hear the trees soughing? Why am I wandering about here? Why am I not with the people who are waiting and waiting? But they don't understand me. How are they to understand me when I am nothing but despair and torment? How are they to believe in me when I wander about in the darkness without peace? I cannot save them. It is not I. Not I. Yes, their Saviour is all the anguish and need that they do not understand. He is like a bird crying in the sky far above their heads. They hear his cries up there, but think it is not for them, because he is floating so high. Not until he falls dead and bleeding to earth do they understand him. Only then can they believe. Crucified, crucified. Yes, I want to be sacrificed. I want to be sacrificed. They shall be redeemed by my blood, by my poor blood. Soon, soon it will happen. sleep sweetly, all small flowers here in the darkness, all meadows, all trees, all people in the world. Have peace, dear earth. I shall redeem you. I watch over you in the night. All your anguish is mine. You shall not suffer, not be troubled about anything. I shall lay down my life for you. But how silent is it here in the wood? Am I walking on dead leaves? My footsteps make no sound. Many flowers and leaves are mouldering now in the autumn, and it is so soft under the trees, silent and soft. There is a smell of earth. Is that the clock striking in the town? 1, 2. Oh, I am so tired, so tired. I want to go home. I must go home now and rest, lie down for a while. They will be wondering where I am. I must be coming out on the road now. It is muddy. I think it rained yesterday. How windy it is. No, it is the bell ringing and ringing. It booms in the air. What is it? It sounds terrible. There are a lot of them. They are tolling and booming as though for Judgment Day. What is it? I must run. Fire! Fire! The flames are leaping up. The sky is blood red. The town is on fire. The world is on fire. It is perishing. Oh, God! I must save them. I must save them. They are waiting for me. Isn't he coming? Isn't he coming? Yes. I'm running. I'm running. I am coming to save them. It's the mud clinging to me. I'm running. Heaven and earth are on fire. They are crashing down like a sea of fire. I must have them. I must save them. My heart, you must not pain me. Good heart, don't pain me so. I cannot run then, cannot breathe, and I must save them. You know that I must save them. Nothing but a blazing sea, and the storm rages. Heaven is driving in flames across the world and setting it alight. Now the others are beside me. They are running in the same direction as I. The world is perishing, I shout at them. Oh, they reply, it's only the workhouse. Yes, it's the workhouse. All those poor people, those whose hunger and thirst, because they cannot believe, they're burning to death. They are perishing. Only I can save them. My heart, do not hurt so. We are nearly there. Soon, soon. The flames leap up. The smoke is here in the street. I can feel the heat. Now I am there. The superintendent. A lot of people have collected here. I shall save them. I shall save them, I shout. There's no one there to save, they call, placing themselves in the way. They don't understand me. I rush into the flames. The heat almost stuns me. No, I do not sink down. Their savior must not sink down. I only stagger at first, grope my way forward, through the hall, into the rooms. It is empty here. They are upstairs. The smoke nearly stifles me on the stairs. No, I do not sink down. I shall save them, all, all. Where are they? I grope my way forward in a daze. The smoke is thick. The flames leap up. I lurch about. Where are they? Old man Enoch, who cannot manage by himself, and Anton, whose legs are paralyzed, and old Christina, who is out of her wits, and Samuelson, and Manfred from the Gale. I can't find them. I creep along the floor. The flames lick after me. There is a crackling all around me, a roar. It's collapsing. Where are they? They have moved the furniture out, the beds, the chairs. It's bare and empty, as though nobody lived here. Where are they? They can't be here. Only I. It's on fire. On fire. The beams crash down. The flames leap up everywhere. I rush around. Where are they? Where are they? All the poor. I can't find them. They're not here. Only fire and devastation. Only I. Oh, my heart, is it you that's burning? Perhaps it's only you. I can feel you consuming my body, my breast, my limbs, until nothing is left but you. Yes, consume it, consume it. I want only to be you. Only you, heart that hungers and thirsts. Only you, fire that devours me. Nothing else. Nothing else, only you. No, I can't go on any longer. It's the end. Yes. Yes, I sink down. It's the end. Oh, God, forgive me for not finding the people I was to save. I can't find them. Forgive a heart that's on fire, only with longing to be sacrificed. To die. To die. Yes, I feel that you forgive me. You forgive the heart that burns for you. You love it. Yes, you love it. You let it be consumed. Consumed. You let it have peace. Peace. Crucified. Crucified.